League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 96.5. Kirk Bowles kind of went off a little bit this morning in the Houston Chronicle. Do you guys really believe that, because Alabama, all Alabama's losses came in the SEC, so they had three losses in the SEC. What's the difference what their preseason schedule is? Now, everybody's saying, well, now nobody's going to schedule non-conference hard games because – you know, look at what happened. You got to win. They just proved that. No, you can lose a game. There's a three loss team in this.
SEC
game.
Never schedules hard out of conference. Every once in a while.
No, yes,
every,
they do. Yes,
every
they do.
Once in a while, beginning. But not really. You want me to read Alabama's schedule to you over the last 10 years?
Well, over the last 10 years, absolutely. They played a lot of tough teams in the first or second week.
Alabama has?
Yes. They absolutely have. They played Texas before Texas was in.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Texas wasn't even winning their conference.
Alabama usually
Texas
plays.
Never won a Big 12 conference at that point. What are you talking
when
about?
When the games are scheduled, yeah, things can change after games are scheduled. But when it's Texas, the brand, you assume at some point they'll be good. But, the SEC does certain things. Like, a lot of the times the games are in the Southeast. They rarely travel.
No home
west. It's neutral sites. But they do what they have to do to pump up what
they played at Wisconsin, which is an extremely – unusual game for
them. Yeah, yeah.
Early in the
on
season.
On campus, that normally doesn't happen. Like, we know LSU went up there, but they played it at Lambeau.
You don't get home and away. And this is the other thing. Well, you need to schedule harder, SMU or whoever the team is, schedule harder. Do you think these SEC teams or Big Ten teams or any other conferences are looking to add a game that is going to be a tricky game for them on their schedule? No. If you're a weaselly, tough little team, they don't want to add you to their schedule. You're not getting that. And if you do, you can't have an equitable home and away.
They don't want to go to
your
place.
So this whole thing, like, schedule harder, that's something that people say. You know this, John, because you've got coaches and all that. First of all, schedules are done years in advance, number one.
Yeah.
Some of them you can get out of. Some of them there's a financial consideration. Number two, you don't expect the team that you're punching up against, if you want them to schedule harder, can I get an equitable home and away? We can make some money off this deal too? No, we want everything to be in our favor. So it's not exactly, and they're not going to add a tough game. Alabama is not looking to add a sneaky tough game to their schedule if they don't have to. Georgia, because their schedule's hard enough. I mean, it is. It really is hard enough. So I don't know. There could be some unintended consequences here. I think some of it's a little unnecessary hand-wringing, but when you had a four-team playoffs, you could make an argument for a lot of teams, if we schedule this game that's tougher and we win it, this really helps us try to get into the top four.
Yeah.
With top 12, you're just trying not to fall out. So,
well, this year, I'm going to tell you, I think this year we found, first of all, I don't think we're going to go forward. We might, I saw this is a two-year commitment. They can easily change the bye week, the byes for the teams that win the conferences. They need to do that, first of all. We're not going to see any other changes to this thing, though, other than maybe this offseason we'll see that you're not going to have byes for conference champions. That said, we've seen now that they value conference titles, conference championship games, more than they value strength of schedule, right?
Yeah, they want you to be the best in your conference.
I don't know with all of the issues that the SEC is going to have this offseason, that maybe that doesn't change as well. we'll see if the conference, if the committee doesn't say, you know what, we need to, strength of schedule needs to play a bigger role than we gave it last year. This thing could be mullable.
Well, it's, I mean, only look, strength of win. Strength of schedule doesn't matter. If you lose, you lose. It's strength of wins that are the most.
Well,
that's what they'll tell you. The committee even talked about strength of wins is a very valuable one.
Well, Alabama
strength
beat
of schedule. You don't get
and it didn't count.
You don't get
it
a
counted. That's why they're still considered. When if a team doesn't beat Georgia
win,
and loses to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, they wouldn't have even been the first in
well,
March.
It did, those losses didn't, because there was no strength to win in any SMU case.
John, that was a crippling loss to a bad Oklahoma
if
team.
If they didn't have the Georgia win on, say they got the Texas schedule where they got easy wins and they didn't have to play Georgia, they wouldn't have even been considered with the losses to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. The Georgia win kept them as the first in
March. Alabama needed some chaos just to get a consideration.
Yeah, if
they
Miami doesn't
chaos.
Lose to Syracuse, well, is Alabama considered at all?
No, they're not even considered at all.
No, well, because they were a three-loss team, and absolutely, that absolutely counts. But a two-loss SMU had zero wins. They had zero big
guys. You SEC people are just out of control.
But honestly, name their big win.
Are you really relitigating Alabama? Alabama had a bad year. Their own coaches said.
I am not relitigating it. I'm saying that it could. Their attitude could change.
You're not an Alabama fan. Let me tell you what one of the Alabama coaches told my son. We lost three games. We had it all right there in our hands, and we let it slip away. They understand. They wanted to get in. Trust me, there's a lot of money to be made for it too. And
it they blew
recruiting.
It. There's no question.
But
they know that they blew it.
They know they blew their Joe Moore Award opportunity by playing poorly against that Oklahoma game was a crusher in so many ways
for them. They got
the piss kicked
fate.
Out of them. Like they got
no,
the break speed
no
off
question.
Of them. Jalen Milroe had three interceptions. It was awful.
And look, and he didn't run. I mean, it was no, absolutely. They sealed their own fate. There's no question about it. But the way that it played out, they got back into it because of the conference championship game. Forget that. We'll get into this. We can get into this with Josh Pate. Things that I know, writes Kirk Bowles. Yours is not the problem. Get off his back, some of you Longhorn Nation. He just needs a running attack to take some pressure off him and slow that pass rush down.
Who said this?
Kirk Bowles.
Okay.
As well as a cleaner pocket. I bet Ewers will play much better against Clemson at DKR. He has five home games. He threw 14 touchdowns and two interceptions. On the road, 11 touchdowns, six interceptions. That said, Texas' offense is in a funk, not finishing drives, not doing. They scored two touchdowns against A&M, Arkansas, Georgia, or one against Georgia, two against A&M, two against Arkansas. This Texas team, you want to talk about a team that doesn't have any quality wins?
Yeah, it's not a look. If Texas hadn't been up there higher, well, if Texas had any stumbles inside a conference, it'd be a real problem. But their losses are twice to Georgia.
Yeah,
it's a forgivable loss.
The difference. I mean. I mentioned if Alabama had the Texas schedule. Well, they did. They both played Georgia.
If they lost to Vanderbilt,
Texas,
do you know how far they would have fallen if they lost to Vanderbilt? That's a scrappy Vanderbilt team. But if they lost at Vanderbilt like Alabama did.
Or lost to Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry.
Red River, it would have been a giant
problem.
It would have been a nightmare because they had no quality wins.
No, right. I mean, Oklahoma.
No
not
quality
a
wins.
Texas A&M was their best win.
Yeah. So any other losses might have doomed Texas. Three, there's no way they get in with three. No way, because their strength of wins was bad. So I think it's fine. They don't need to make any changes. They can make whatever considerations they want. I think this year is its own year. It's highly unusual. The SEC had a bunch of three-loss teams. You don't see that often. You had Arizona State come from literally the back of the pack. They were supposed to finish last in the conference. They won a championship. Boise did what Boise has done in the past under Chris Peterson, but now they're still sporty. They did what they did. It's a little bit of a strange year. It's a little bit of a strange year this year. And I think they got it right. I don't have a problem with it. The buy stuff, it's broken. They'll fix it next year. No, none of those teams will get buys. You don't get an automatic buy, but. We'll always have an argument about a bubble team. It's always going to be a bubble argument.
If it's the 69th team or the 13th team, there's always an argument about a bubble team. Listen, no, Texas, if they had another loss, they would have got in because they would have been – they were second going into the conference championship game. They would have been ninth or so with two losses, and they would have lost to Georgia in the way that they lost. They'd have still been in.
Well, if they had lost more games in conference, they don't play in the title game. It would have been a domino effect, so maybe they do have three losses before they even get to Georgia. But to your point, yeah, the name where they started, if they were a two-loss team – they would have made it. Texas, the brand, they would have still made it. But three losses.
If SMU could make it, then they could make it.
Well, the Texas brand and SMU had the disadvantage of starting lower. But yes, they went Texas 10-2. Don't make the SEC title game. They're in. But
Texas
Alabama was 9-3.
Started inside the top three.
Yeah, they were gonna.
They had pole position, so it wasn't gonna matter.
Yeah,
they just needed to play good enough, and they were gonna.
They didn't screw
it up. And that's
the
advantage of being a blue blood program, to an extent, being an SEC program. Even like a Tennessee, you're given certain advantages. You get placement, and that's the advantage.
Where are you on Quinn Ewers? Are you with Rick Bowles?
No,
I'm
telling you, I would not touch him. But I do think Texas fans are a little rough on him. I know his agent. I talk to his agent from time to time. The kid's kind of miserable right now because he feels like all of Austin hates him and Longhorn fans hate him. I feel a little bit bad for Quinn. The fans all want Arch Manning. They're not super supportive of Quinn Ewers. He feels it. It's something that bothers him because, you know, if you want to start making bullet points, like he doesn't lose on the road. He hadn't lost a conference game on the road or you know, he's got these. Ron was running through the stats for me. I'm like, man, it sounds really good. Like, it sounds really good. I just know that those Georgia games this year are an example of why I'm not, like, I don't buy into Quinn Ewers as a leader in the NFL. I don't think he has any juice on the field. He comes off as nervous. You look at the last two games, that the Texas A&M and Georgia game were an encapsulation of not being able to finish. He's not a finisher. He doesn't have that killer instinct. With that said, he's been good at Texas. He's been a good college quarterback. He's been good at Texas. He'll play in the pros. Like, I think Longhorn fans, just the shiny toy is sitting on the sideline, and everyone wants Arch Manning. He's a Manning. And as soon as Arch was coming to Texas, Quinn was kind of doomed because everyone wants to see the shiny backup quarterback.
And he used to be the shiny thing until he, you know, left
it
high school early to go to Ohio State.
Peyton Manning's nephew is a big deal.
And I'm not asking Longhorn fans to have perspective because that's never going to happen. But if you look at their season since 2010, before Quinn Ewers became their starting quarterback, they had one 10-win season since 2010. Now it's back-to-back double-digit win seasons, and it does not matter. Like, it's not like they've had this run of quarterback success. I'm going all the way back to Mac 2009, 13-1, lose the BCS title game. They had the Ellinger year with Tom Herman when they beat Georgia in the Sugar. That's their one 10-win season before Quinn became the starter. And they're still treating him like, beat it, get out of here. We want Arch to start for you. I mean, you guys know you've gone through bad quarterback play. And Quinn's been pretty good for you, but it hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. I think when the stage really elevates, it gets a little much for him. Like,
and it's funny because he could go to Tuscaloosa and play well.
Yeah, and you always have that. At Alabama, he can hang that on his resume.
Yep. All right, let's break it. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, I want to talk about Republic Group Boot Company. I want to talk about your holiday season. You still got time to bring your employees. You still got time to make an appointment, bring your family. How about having a party there? They've got a bar. They've got a patio. They've got a stage on Fridays. They have music every Friday afternoon, and it's just a party at Republic Boot Company. But what it is, it's a place to get your rodeo on. You're looking for handmade heritage with the smell of leather that you're not ever, ever, ever. I'm telling you, it's a different leather smell than you'll ever smell in your life. The first time I walked in there, I was like, oh, my God. First thing that hits you is, wow, does this place smell great? But let them customize. And listen, it starts at like $395 for a pair of boots at Republic Boot Company. Now, you can go and get real customized, real serious stuff. But you can get it off the rack. Well, they customize the boot to your foot. They customize the hat to your head. They customize the jacket perfect for you, the belts, the pants, everything. They've got it all. at Republic Boot Company. It's in the Heights. It's just a great place. I'm telling you, if you're going to get your rodeo on, there's one place to go. It's Republic Boot Company. Boy, they know what they're doing there. It is so cool to watch them making those boots in the back. They are awesome. If you're looking for this holiday season rodeo, it's at Republic Boot Company, 1133 East 11th Street in the Heights, just off 11th and Studewood, republicbootcompany.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN has its places for Kyle Tucker, best landing spots. Yankees, Phillies, Reds. The Athletic thinks the Cubs are the perfect spot for him. I could see him. I don't see the Reds, but okay.
No.
I don't think the Reds are going to be paying Yankee dollars.
No, but they've got, you know, every once in a while those teams will step out and pay somebody. I mean, they've got an interesting team. You know what would be really interesting is the Pirates. Get a foundational hitter in the lineup with the Pirates with Skeens.
You just
there.
Want them to disappear.
No. I think that it'd be interesting to have. I want Skeens. I actually want Skeens to stay there. I want the Pirate fans to have something to cheer for. And I think it'd be good for baseball to have a team like that. You know, grow your own and show that those mid-market teams can actually do something.
Yeah.
Because we know the chances are Skeens. Skeens will be a Dodger or a Yankee. That's how it works. No one else is allowed to play the game.
Yeah, that's true. And then Max Fried. Max Fried has a lot of blister problems. And
I like Max Fried, though.
I like Max Fried, too.
Okay, over-under on Tommy John surgery for Skeens. 5.5 years.
0.
You think under?
Under.
Why?
Because he's a power pitcher. Power pitchers don't normally. I mean, they usually are.
A lot less, yeah. They're a lot less inclined. Yeah. Although Verlander had it.
Yeah, Verlander relied on a lot of spin.
Well, later in his career, but he's still a primary fastball pitcher. But, yeah, once you get to the Astros and you start torquing out your spin rate, the arm injuries pile up.
It looks like the Dodgers are going to get Roky Sasaki, too.
What a shocker.
Dodgers
are getting a Japanese star? Oh, how shocking. Yeah.
I mean,
that's never happened before in Dodger history. Dodgers or Yankees are going to get some Japanese pitcher?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
Yep.
What a treat. You'll never see a Roky Sasaki go to, well, Roky Sasaki looks like he's going to be a Twin. No. Well, it looks like Roky Sasaki is locked in with the Rays. Nope. That ain't happening.
That said no one ever.
Well, the Reds are in on the Roky Sasaki. They're in on the sweepstakes. No. If you're in Big Ten country, you can't have a Japanese pitcher. That's just how this works. If you're in the SEC or Big Ten, you may get the best football players, but you're not getting Japanese pitchers. I can tell you that.
No.
If you're in SEC country, if your team is in the college football playoffs, you can't have a Japanese pitcher.
No, absolutely. Big
it's true.
Ten ain't
your state.
The Big Ten
your
ain't
state can't
no
have one.
Japanese. No.
Is there
no
a
Japanese.
New York team? Is there a New York team in the college football playoffs?
No.
Is there a California team?
A first baseman from Iowa.
Is there a California team in there? No.
No.
That's where they get. Yeah. Yeah. You can get. Oh yeah. You can get somebody from LSU. We can get that. Japanese pitchers don't go to Power Five conferences.
No.
Sorry.
No.
Power Four.
No. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Did you hear what Troy Aikman had to say about Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
I mean.
Unusually.
It is.
Unusually positive.
Yeah. He said, you know what? The locker room wants Mike McCarthy.
Well, that's what Michael Parsons said the other day, probably on his podcast.
Well, but. Does
we know what Micah says.
He guys, also
we
said.
We got to tune into Micah's podcast.
He also said we work way harder than the head coach does.
That's probably true. They lift weights and stuff.
Well, he didn't say we. He was talking about
some of the vets.
He was talking about the veteran.
Those guys work way harder than any coach.
Did he say a veteran? Wasn't a specific veteran, or was he
just, he said he felt bad for
Zach
Nick Martin.
Or Nick Martin.
Zach Martin.
We had
Nick Martin. We had the bad Martin.
We had the bad Martin.
They got the good Martin.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. Nick wasn't bad. He was all right. Really? I mean, you guys, you know what? I love it. You guys just keep on going with that McCarthy thing because it's great. It's working out great for you. Did you see that before the Monday night game, Arizona State scored more touchdowns in that stadium than the Cowboys had all year?
No
Arizona
way.
State, in that one game, in the Big 12 championship game, scored more touchdowns than the Cowboys had scored in the building all year.
Oh, my God. What an incredible stat. They got Scataboo. Who had more touchdowns, CeeDee Lamb or Cam Scataboo?
Scataboo. Are you kidding?
For the year in that stadium, you're probably
Scataboo right. Got ripped off not going to. Cam Ward ain't winning.
But Dylan Brooks. No, Cam was always going to go.
Cam Scataboo ain't winning it either.
No.
What does it matter who's
winning it? I had no problem. I just kind of forgot about
Scataboo
Dylan Brooks.
Win it.
He's not going to. He was never going to.
No, he's not. But Cam was like, he's a legitimate. If you could take five, he's the fifth.
Who, Scataboo?
Yeah, Scataboo is really a lot like Mike Allstott with a little more speed and much smaller shoulder pads.
Yeah. He's not as
because his running style is boom, boom, boom. And Ron, I think Quinn Ewers' agent is going to get Scataboo too.
Does he translate to the NFL?
I think anybody who breaks tackles and runs hard, he's probably going to run like a 4.6 240. But
he's got to be a one-cut guy.
Yeah, he can't do a whole lot of messing around because he's too slow. They'll catch up with him. But, yeah, anybody who can create – the great Kirby Wilson once told me, if you can create for yourself with elusiveness, power, or speed, you can be an NFL back. And he creates through power. Phenomenal contact
balance. Why is Kirby Puckett talking about
Kirby Wilson, running back coach. He coached Pittsburgh Steelers, Minnesota Vikings. He was – He had said something. He was a head coach of either the UFL or what were the two leagues they had before they combined? The XFL and the UFL or AAFL?
The XFL combined with the USFL.
Yeah, so I think he was a USFL coach, and he did or said something that we mentioned on the show. He did one of those kind of weird or said something weird that we mentioned on the show. But it's really a great point. You think about it this way. Joe Mixon, how does he create for himself? He creates through power. He creates through power, I would say. Not a lot of elusiveness, but not bad. He's got good vision. Scataboo, it's hard. He's built so low to the ground that it's really hard to take his – and he plays with a wide base. It's really hard to take him down for first tackler. And I thought Nick Saban said something super interesting. I always love listening to Nick because he'll give you a little – tidbits of coaching. He said you can't tackle him low. That's the first time I've ever heard it. He said you need to tackle him high. I've never heard a coach talk about tackling a running back high. It's the first time I thought about it, and I was trying to wrap my mind around it. And you know what? Because then if you wrap and roll, you can pull him off balance, off
drop,
his base. You're going to have to hip drop him.
Yep.
That's what Nick should have said. All right, you got to get out there. All right, you hip drop. Land on his ankles, and you take him out.
Right.
Look, at Alabama, we got that tightrope surgery. Don't worry about it.
Tightrope surgeries are – I was reading another – there's a player I'm writing up in the draft who had the tightrope surgery. And the tightrope surgery is basically if you have a high ankle sprain, they go in and they just tighten things up for you to speed up the process so you can get back on the field. It's like having a cut guy – where you got you're gashed above your eye, and you got to we're basically just going to keep this good enough just to get you through this, and then you can go worry about the carnage. That's what the tightrope surgery is.
Then you don't worry about when you're 50.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah, and Alabama was the first time I ever heard that phrase. Tightrope surgery was an Alabama player.
All right, the Rockets. Gonna be doing. Hey, I got a tightrope back tonight playing basketball. Your kids are gonna watch the game and they're gonna want to play, Dad. They're gonna want to go in the backyard and they're gonna want to play. And you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna go, well, we don't have a goal.
Can I help you here a little bit? I had when I was in my first house that I had in my neighborhood. I got a goal from. I spoke for Keith Tate. I got a goal from Keith Tate. It was awesome. I didn't bring it with me to the other house we moved to in the same neighborhood. I meant to. We didn't do it. Massive mistake. I didn't have a good goal. I had one that we bought. It's the most janky ass, like, if you've got goals that shake all the time, mm-hmm. I've had plastic break. We've had, like, if you they try to dunk and hang on the rim, and the whole thing is getting ready to collapse. You got to put water. Get the water hose so this thing doesn't fall. It blew over during the what did we have? What was it called? It wasn't a hurricane. They called it a
whatever.
The schism or something derecho. Like that. Yeah, derecho. Yeah, like, that thing, that goal sucks. Definitely go with Keith Tate. Definitely.
And I mean, honestly, there you go. There's a difference. We had the Keith Tate goal as well. And when we moved it over to the neighbor's house. It is still perfect. Listen, you're looking for the best way to get a goal for your kids. Listen to Lance. He had the Keith Tate goal and the pro dunk goal, and then he didn't. And guess what? It sucked. So get the pro dunk goal. It's the best goal ever in the history of goals, period. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance and Dell here with you at 713-780-3776. We got Keith on hold. He wants to talk some college football. Hey, Keith, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good, man. Hey, real quick, to Dell's point, as a Longhorn, man, we're super excited that, I mean, well, let me put it in my personal perspective. Super excited about the back-to-back wins, 10 seasons, or yes, back-to-back 10-win seasons. And with Quinn, it's a matter of we win with Quinn, but not because of Quinn. And that's not a knock on him. And I told you guys before the season started, I think Quinn is he's okay. I just didn't see it. And I think I asked Lance this before the season started. I thought he was going to be a good college quarterback. I didn't think that he would be an NFL draft prospect. But nonetheless, I digress. I want to talk about what you guys were mentioning earlier.
Can I ask you one thing, though? Because yeah. You've been a long-time Longhorn sure. fan, and I see a similarity. Yeah. Now, Major Appiah was a dog. Major had a lot of dog in him. He was a undersized guy who just had a chip on his shoulder and found ways to. Is there any chance that Arch Manning? Do you feel like there's any chance that Arch Manning is going to be Chris Sims, where the shiny toy? Everyone wanted to get rid of Major Appiah, like, get him out of here. And I'm not saying that Quinn plays at the, you know, Quinn's numbers look good, you know, but is there a chance that this could turn into another Major in Chris Sims moment?
You know, that's a great question. And so I think I told you, my son is on campus there. He's a junior there. And we talk about this a lot in terms of, like, what it looks like for players of his caliber and that age group. What Arch brings to the table in terms of energy and juice, in terms of just, like, his motivation, is what the quarterback room needs and what the team needs. And whether or not he turns out to be a bust or not, in terms of, like, I always caution people about making Manning comparisons to, you know, his uncles, because you have to let that kid, or to his grandfather. So you have to let him grow into whoever he's going to be. But at the end of the day, and just as he is and the energy he brings right now, it's, I believe, and I think there's a whole lot of people who agree with me, that energy is what the team needs a lot of the times, especially if you go back and look at those last four games that you guys were just mentioning, where we didn't score in the third quarter where we could have put teams away against the Arkansas, against Georgia. The problem is that when you make mistakes on the field as a quarterback, and Quinn, again, good kid, but sometimes you need a quarterback that's gonna have this conversation with players that says, "Look, man, it's okay. We're gonna come back from this." And I don't feel like that he's that guy. And I think a lot of fans agree with me. He's not that guy, and that's okay. I just don't know how that translates to the NFL.
Yeah,
but I do think he's a good quarterback.
Okay, get to your other point. Sorry about that, but those are all good points.
Hey, you know, the last thing I'll say is, you guys were talking earlier, Lance, you nailed it in terms of, like, seasons or the season schedule being produced before the season. One of my biggest frustrations when I hear people talk about strength of schedule is this. When the season starts, there's absolutely very few comments of people saying, well, you know, they got a tough schedule because of the rankings that they're – then we see it play out on the field, and all of a sudden we realize, well, maybe that team shouldn't have been ranked so high. Because I'll be honest with you, I wish they would do away with preseason rankings, because the best team in the SEC, in my opinion, to close out the season was South Carolina. It wasn't Georgia and it wasn't Texas. And you're hearing this from me as a Longhorn. South Carolina played the best ball at the end of the season. It wasn't even close. But at the end of the day, because we're looking at preseason rankings and strength of schedule, I just don't think I don't know the answer to how to fix that, but I just don't feel like that is a fair way to look at teams as you're selecting them to the playoff system, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would agree with
South
you.
Carolina over Alabama is, I mean, they were a tougher. You would much rather see Alabama than South Carolina if you just went off of tape and not reputation.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree with you. That was a better team at the end of the season. But I think it's about the comp. But it's how you're playing now, right? The last six games, South Carolina was playing as well as anybody, but they stumbled at the beginning of the year.
So I don't think you're saying how you're playing now, but I do think that there's a little bit of a difference between having a college basketball schedule with over 30 games and a college football schedule with like 12. Because it really does alter, you know, the college basketball has a very, their selection committee who's been doing it for years and years, they do factor in more. What are you doing now? And that, and maybe, and I guess football naturally will. I mean, Texas lost late, which hurts. Miami lost late, that hurt. Late losses hurt. It killed those teams.
But I don't know that playing well like South Carolina did helps if you play too poorly at the beginning.
They just had too much to overcome, I think.
Yeah.
From a perception standpoint, the reality is they're one of the 12 best teams right now in college football. That's real. Like, Sellers is putting some pretty good production together. He's a run and pass option. He's huge. You got a tremendous pass rush over there. Like South Carolina, Shane Beamer's a good coach. South Carolina is not, you know, they're not to be trifled with right now. But you'll have to trifle with them in a bowl game somewhere, provided their players don't all opt out to start draft stuff. Or
well, there's that. I don't know. Have we had any?
Not yet.
Opt-outs for
not
the
yet.
Playoff?
We will, but not yet.
Not for the playoff.
Oh no! Hopefully it never happens for the playoffs. And I think I don't know if NIL agreements. It would be smart. I think that a lot of NIL agreements typically run for a set period of time. I wouldn't be shocked though if more and more of these agents for NIL participants did separate NIL deals. Said, look, this NIL runs through the end of the regular season, and we want a chance to renegotiate NIL. In the playoffs, where there's more, that's what they could do, which would also help make sure. I mean, hopefully, players want to win bad enough that they aren't going to opt out and stuff
you
like that.
You ain't
going to
help yourself with the NFL if you're opting out of a
playoff. No, you're opting out with a chance to win. It's one thing in the that kind of got overdone, like opting out of the bowl games. Most scouts didn't care. It got to be a pragmatic situation. You opt out of a chance to win a national championship. That is going to bother. That is going to bother some teams. However, there was a big conversation, and Duke Mannyweather was having this. He trains offensive linemen for the draft. The time frame. Do you understand what's happening now from a draft standpoint? This is a nightmare for teams that go deep because by the end of what's the end of the year? What's the national championship game? It's late January, right? 21st, I think, is the national championship game. Either 20th or 21st. The Senior Bowl is that same week. So you can't play in the Senior Bowl. The Combine is 1 month later. So now you have to recover from a longer season and three additional games, potentially, two games to three games. You have to recover from injury and get ready for the Combine. So there's a belief that Senior Bowl and Combine are done, at least for teams that go deep.
Well, two teams.
Well, possibly three. I mean, let's face it. I'm flying to Cotton Bowl for the semifinals. That's January 10th. That's still not a lot of time from a preparation standpoint to get ready for the combine. So it may just turn into, hey, we're just going to get ready for the pro day, and that's going to be it. There may be fewer players working out the combine because they don't have enough time to train. They typically like about 2 months to train, and they're not going to get that. There's no way they can. Not the good teams, not the top four teams at least.
Jackie is none too happy with our Ewers and Manning talk.
What? Well, what's going on?
Oh, well. By the way, the Longhorns have had five guys that have hit the portal. None of them were – Jonte Cook, who quit the team a couple of weeks ago, left the team – he left the team last month, as a matter of fact. He's entered the portal, not surprisingly. But other than that, it's probably just guys that weren't going to be involved anyway. But if you're a guy and you enter the portal or you opt out of the game to get ready for the NFL draft, I'm telling you, you're a guy that the NFL ain't going to want. That's all there is to it. Hey, we got the Christmas party, and we want you there. It's going to be December 23rd. You know what's great? Here's the great thing. We're going to drink all day on the 23rd, right?
What, we are?
Yeah, it's the 23rd. It's a Christmas party. We're going to drink all day on the 23rd, so you're not even drunk on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve. That's awesome. You're going to be a little hungover, but you're still going to – your wife is going to be happy with you because you're not drunk on Christmas Eve, as opposed to other times when we've had the Christmas party on Christmas Eve and it was, you know, you were throwing up and stuff. That's not a good way to spend Christmas, Daddy.
You did?
Yeah.
Is this so what people were doing? Only the eggnog people.
Well, no, other people too. They drank too much. I'm not throwing up all day, but I'm one of those people. All right? Daddy's drunk again for Christmas, kids. Oh, well. Not this time. Because it's the 23rd, okay? Daddy's going to be drunk the 23rd, not the 24th. So let's go. I need you. We need you there. It's going to be at Nick's place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. We fill the place at 7 a.m., and it's going to be a fun time, had by all. Let's go. We want you there. There's games. There's giveaways, tickets that we're giving away, all kinds of great stuff. Courtney does a great job putting stuff together for us, games and whatnot. So we want you there hanging with us on December 23rd at Nick's place. Right now, I'm talking about MyBookie, a great way for you to make some money and just tell work, screw you, work, I'm going to go to the Christmas party on the 23rd. It's MyBookie. You win money at MyBookie, then you got money to tell your job, I won't be there. That's right. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. If you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, you're looking for the best site that is easy to maneuver. You're looking for a site that gives you a free play every Thursday during the football season. They're giving away money, okay? They'll pick a couple of weeks ago, Devin Achane, anytime touchdown, okay? He scored a touchdown, you get the money. And if he didn't score a touchdown, you don't pay. That's a perfect. I love that. Is that get any better than that? No. Free play Thursdays. And then there's MyBookie Plus. The more you play, they're giving stuff away. They've got all kinds of great stuff for the more you play. You're looking for the way to get paid. You're looking for a way to double your initial deposit. You're looking for a great way to have a new book, MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, what a day it's going to be on New Year's Eve, right? Tuesday, December 31st. We got the Texas Bowl. How about playing on New Year's Eve? They're going to play at 3:30. So you're going to, LSU fans are all going to get their drink on. It start probably about 1 o'clock in the afternoon or earlier. And go all the way to New York. Man, you're going to have a lot of passed out LSU fans, that's for sure. That's for sure. In the city of Houston.
An LSU fan came stuck his flag in my booty.
Hopefully there won't be a lot of that going on. I say that, but December 31st is actually going to be a good day. Alabama, Michigan. That's a good game. Louisville, Washington. South Carolina, Illinois. And Baylor, LSU. That's not a bad day. Not a bad day. That's probably
on
the best
its face, but then I got to watch Davis Warren play quarterback.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Ugh.
That's the problem.
And Jalen Milroe against a good defense trying to throw the football.
Ugh. Is the Jalen Milroe first round stuff dead now?
Is he even leaving?
What year?
Have we announced that? Has he announced that?
Isn't he a fourth year guy? I think he is.
Let's see. I don't know if he has a red shirt already.
If not, he should come back for sure. But I think he is because Alabama's already concerned about their backup quarterback situation. I think they think he's leaving at least. I don't know that he has a COVID year.
He only played a couple snaps in 21, and so he's probably got at least a red shirt. Yeah, at least. So I don't know. I haven't seen him announce anything.
You don't? Do you have to determine your red shirt at the time? You don't have to, right?
No.
You used to have to, but I don't think you have to.
Well, as long as you don't play the four games, you have.
It's just considered an automatic.
It's automatic.
It's an automatic option.
As long as you don't play more than four.
So it turns into an option year.
Yeah, as long as you don't play more than four, you get that red shirt.
Yeah. Yep.
And did you see it doesn't count for the postseason? There was a player.
Yeah, I saw that.
There was a player who was able to play in the Arizona State game without any penalty of burning a red shirt. Because
postseason doesn't count.
Postseason doesn't count to your 4+
wow.
for burning red shirts. Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's good.
That is good.
And they count postseason as championship game too.
Did you guys see
Melrow is a junior, but my guess is he's coming out.
Yeah, he better come back. He got a little
He should come back. It would they got a chance to win. You don't want to leave on such a bad you want to, you know, just develop more. Actually, another year would be great for his quarterback development. I mean, it really would. In all reality, Jalen Milroe will get paid well. He'll get marketing deals from our boy. He will get paid by Alabama. He's got revenue share, and he gets better as a quarterback with another year under his belt. There's really no reason for him to come out. I think he very well could, but I really don't. I think you're right, John. I don't think he should.
No. Say there, you need more work, son. And you're getting paid.
Well, if
he
plays in the bowl game, is that a clue?
But what if we don't see him?
What do you mean if you
what
don't
if nobody
see him?
Sees him in a bowl game? It's not a real bowl. It's not
it's
anything
a real
anyway.
Bowl.
No one cares about that.
That's true.
No one, what is this, the Tax Slayer or
that's the Reliant Quest
the Chicken
bowl.
Liver Bowl?
I just told you what it is.
It's the Tampa Bowl. It's
Pistachio
the Bowl.
The Reliant Quest Tampa Bowl.
No one cares. We're not going to watch that crap. Yeah. We're only here to watch playoff games. Nobody cares about your dumb games that don't mean anything. Show me games where you have a chance to win a championship. The rest of you, they could cancel all your games. We don't care. Take them off TV.
You don't want any inventory on TV.
No. Take them off. Send that money to radio.
What?
Send that inventory as those advertisers to radio.
We are going to be carrying bowl
games. I'll do something
games.
For Tax Slayer right now. Hey, guys. Lance Erline here.
Whoa.
I want to say if your taxes are getting...
That bowl is ReliaQuest.
Hey, if you're looking for somebody reliable, look no further than ReliaQuest. They're the best at logistics and doing things the right way and the reliable way. ReliaQuest. 1-800-RELIABLE or go to ReliaQuest.com. Boom, you owe me money.
Well, they would ask you to actually talk about the actual product. They're
I did.
They're a cybersecurity company.
So I mentioned the logistics of it all.
And the number is not correct either. 1-800-RELI. What did you say?
Reliable.
Reliable.
It actually, yeah. No, it's too many,
you
it's
think
too
that's
many
a
letters.
Better, that's a better way to spend their money.
As opposed to the bowl game?
100%. Well, I watch Jalen Milroe throw interceptions or me doing a live spot telling people, look how good they are. Bing, bang, boom, we're cheaper.
That is true.
Bring us bring us tamales and tacos and watch how we'll really kick it up for you.
Hey, we got a real guy that's going to talk about the bowl games and the playoff. Josh Pate next right here. Brought to you by Damaris and Bobcat of Houston on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. But right now, we got Lance talking about John Daspit.
John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. I don't know when John Daspit's getting his own bowl game, the John Daspit Law Firm Bowl or DaspitLaw.com Bowl or whatever the case. But Mattress Mac used to have his own bowl game, the Gallery Furniture Bowl. Let's get the John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm Bowl. That's possible. If John wants to spin the cheddar, he could get that done. He's becoming worldwide or at least national. He's huge in Texas, 12 locations, offices around the state of Texas. He's got offices in Arizona. He's got offices in Arkansas. He's got offices in Georgia. There's a lot of – he's going to have one in Michigan at some point. So he's getting bigger and bigger because he's so successful and he expands. But his hub is right here. We're along the coast. There's a lot of personal injury work to be done because of the danger of the job, refinery blast, offshore accidents. These happen and people get badly injured, and John Daspel will take care of it. You know, he can take care of your accident on the roadways if you've been hit. Property loss, he can do that as well. There's a lot of different types of areas where he specializes, and his law firm specializes with over 60 lawyers, so they have enough lawyers to handle your case. They will handle the case and give you the amount of attention that you deserve, getting big settlements to make sure and take care of all the bills and your pain and suffering. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Go to DaspitLaw.com or call 713-CALL-NOW.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join my Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.